for your weekly dose of Wayne's Comics.
Welcome to episode 660 of the Wayne's Comics Podcast. Thanks so much for listening. This week, Chris Stevens from the Golem of Venice Beach returns. Chris is the multiple Eisner Award-winning editor with a fascinating Kickstarter project called The Golem of Venice Beach Volumes 1 and 2. This project has continued to attract a stellar lineup of creators. The first volume included Bill Sienkiewicz and Michael Allred, and the second book is described this way. Book 2 will again be an oversized deluxe hardcover and is a whopping 184 pages, 32 more than Book 1, which is also available for purchase during this campaign. It picks up directly where the first volume left off in Venice Beach, California. We discuss how this book came to be, who the characters are, and what we can expect from this creative team in the coming months. I'm sure you're going to enjoy what Chris has to say. There's a lot to get to in this episode, so let's get on with the show. The Golem of Venice Beach, Volume 2, hits a fever pitch in the hands of another star-studded lineup of creators. Picking up immediately after Book 1's cliffhanger, we find Adam the Golem caught in the middle of a gang war while trying to protect two runaway teens. To make matters worse, Jake comes under the scrutiny of the very same gang while Uncle Steph tries to mend a rift that has formed between his nephew and Adam. And once again, I'm talking with the editor of this book, and it's Eisner-winning editor Chris Stevens from Little Nemo, Dream Another Dream. And Chris, of course, was the very first person who joined in this team in this year-long effort. How's it going, Chris?
Hey, Wayne. How are you, my friend? Great to talk with you, and it was great to talk with you when Book 1 came out a couple years ago, and it's great to be here to talk about Book 2. Thanks for having me.
Okay, now I always have to do this because people get mad at me. I don't say this soon enough. This project will only be funded if it reaches its goal by Friday, October 4 at 12 a.m. Eastern Daylight Time. Now, the important things, a couple of things we got to talk about right away, is that you have, as we're talking, already surpassed four times your stated goal. And so congratulations are in order to the whole team.
Oh, thanks, Wayne. Thank you. Yes, sir. Yeah, no, we've gotten off to a good start, and we've got a couple weeks left to spread the word and you know, let more people know that we've got to the point where we've wrapped up this particular Golem story and brought along some pretty amazing artists to do it out and go out in style.
Because as I go to the Kickstarter page, it says art by Frank Quitely, David Mack, Jay Lee, Howie Chaykin, Stan Sakai, Dean Haspiel, I don't know how to, I'm probably going to fracture this name, Juan Jose Ripe?
Juan Jose Rip.
Rip, okay. It's a,
I probably just fractured it, but yeah. I'll find out. I'll have to ask him.
Nick Dragota and Das Pastoris. And I had a chance to read this book. You made a preview copy available to me. I love the first book, but I have to say, the second book, the only word I can come up with is wow. It was a fantastic story. I want desperately to spoil stuff, but I'm not going to do that. There's so many wonderful things. I had such a good experience reading this book that I want other people to have the exact same experience. So there's no way I'm going to spoil any of this stuff. But one thing I do want to make sure we mention is that Kickstarter gave you a Project We Love banner for it. And that's always a good sign when Kickstarter backs your stuff. So just terrific. There's so many good things about this. Now, I do want to mention, it says here, Book 2 will again be an oversized deluxe hardcover, and it's a whopping 184 pages, 32 more than book one, which is also available for purchase in this campaign. And, of course, it's all in Venice Beach, California. There's a whimsical backup story, bonus artwork, and the stunningly evocative wraparound cover by comics titan Frank Quitely. So all kinds of wonderful stuff. I do have to say that the experience that I had reading it, as I was telling you before we started recording, it was a page-turner for me. I had to I couldn't wait to see what was going to be on the next page because so many interesting and things. And I was so invested in several of the characters that I had to know what was going to happen. So I was reading the next page as fast as I could because I needed to know what's going on. Uncle Steph, to me, is a big character. He's the guy that's basically the protagonist in all this that makes things happen. But Adam the Golem, as I was telling you before, I am really big into the big, strong, silent type people and characters. If I ever meet somebody like that, I want desperately to ask them questions and get them to talk and talk about themselves and kind of tell who they are and stuff like that. So I was really invested in Adam, and Adam takes it on the chin a couple times in this book, and I wanted good things to happen to that character, so I couldn't wait to read it. So I think you guys did a tremendous job on this book.
Oh, thanks so much, Wayne. Oh, that's fantastic. Yeah, Uncle Steph, if they still did those polls, you know, best supporting character, I'd put Uncle Steph up there. I think he'd do well on a poll like that. He's a great character. Anon really did a great job bringing him to life and through some of the, you know, normally try to avoid flashbacks often, but with some of these flashbacks that we had that were able to flesh out his past throughout book one and then completing that sequence that Jay Lee illustrates in book two. Yeah, he really, that character tugs on my heartstrings. And like you said, Adam winds up becoming, as simple as he is, he winds up becoming, you know, a bit complex by the end of things without revealing his fate.
Now, why don't we talk about the name of the guy who is the creator of this whole thing? Why don't you talk about him and how you got involved in the process?
Sure. Hanan Beiser is the creator. He's the author. And we've been working together now, I guess, about 5.5 years. And Hanan comes from world of film and TV production. And he had this story that he'd written a while back as a screenplay. And I think it had done well in screenplay contests. And after a few years, he realized he always, you know, he grew up loving comics and loving creators. We're lucky to have some of them in the second volume, like Stan Sakai and Howard Chaykin, creators that he loved, you know, for quite a while. And he had the idea of trying to turn it into comic books. And I was at a point where I had started looking for freelance editor work, you know, and then I guess the goal, putting projects together, editing scripts, stuff like that. And Hanan was one of the first people who reached out to me. I had put an ad on Facebook. And when I say an ad, just, you know, there's groups on Facebook, you know, connecting comics writers and artists and so forth. And I just, you know, made a post in there stating some of my credits and that I wanted to, you know, take on freelance editorial work. And he was one of the first people who contacted me, and certainly one of the first serious people. And it's been a blessing that he did and that we connected. And he's got a ton of drive and passion for this project. He has spared no effort and in building up really one of the more impressive, each book on its own, but certainly when combined, one of the more impressive artistic rosters that I could think of. You know, there's not many books that have that sort of combination of, and then in this book in particular, the second volume, there's sort of a generational mix, which it was really nice. And I don't know if it was intended per se, but Stan Sakai and Howard Chaykin are sort of masters. I mean, literal Hall of Famers at this point, right? They're Eisner Hall of Famers at this point. So having them in there with guys like Nick Dragata and you know, Frank Quitely and Jay and David Mack, who are a slightly different generation. And then Vanessa, who's the engine of the whole thing, our main artist, who's drawn the bulk of it and really propelled things. And, you know, without her, these books wouldn't exist. So, yeah, but Hanan makes all that possible. He's very dedicated, extremely dedicated to you know, getting the best result and, you know, bringing this story to life. And hopefully when people see the second volume, Wayne, you know, we've done that. We've sort of completed this journey in high style.
Well, I have to say, you know, like I said, the fact that you're four times your goal already, and you still got, as we're recording this, some time for more people to back it. I just, because I backed it, and I had to make sure I got a good copy of this.
Oh, thanks, Wayne.
Because, boy, I keep saying that this book is just bowled me over. I could not wait to find out what was going to happen with some of these characters.
I love it.
I got so invested in them and stuff. Now, but something we should probably talk about is, what is a golem for people who may not have heard the previous interview we had?
Sure. A golem is a creature from Jewish folklore who is created out of, you know, in the most basic early versions of the story, created out of mud and clay, and meant to be a creature of vengeance, meant to protect the Jews from persecution, to be a physical manifestation of protection and really vengeance. Yeah.
So obviously Uncle Steph is, as I said, he's a protagonist. He's the one who makes a lot of this stuff happen. The golem is as a result of something that Uncle Steph does, and there's reasons for that. And it's such an interesting way that this progresses. And then, again, I'm tempted to spoil, but I will not. There is, if you go, by the way, to the Kickstarter page, and it's called, by the way, it's on there, it's called The Golem of Venice Beach Books 1 and 2 by, Beiser Cardinale. I'm so bad at beautiful names. They don't trip off my tongue so nicely. But if you go there, you get to see some of the sample pages that's on it, and some, you get to see some of the things. There's a quote from Bill Sienkiewicz. I love Hannon's bold reinterpretation of such a historically significant cultural icon. He's created a golem for the 21st century.
And what else could you say? We could end the show now.
Well, Bill Sienkiewicz.
For people who haven't, and the great thing about this campaign, this current campaign too, Wayne, is people can pick up the first book and they'll see if they do. And I'm you can see on the Kickstarter page somewhere on there, Bill did the wraparound cover to book one. And the first, I believe it's the first seven pages, Bill did the actual, when you ask what is a golem, you can actually see Bill Sienkiewicz show you the creation of the first, of the golem, of Adam's origin story, so to speak, in the golem book one. Fully done by Bill. He even lettered it himself, and even the golem of Venice Beach logo is designed by Bill. And yeah, no, he's been a great great friend and inspiration to the project overall.
Well, I have to say, he's a big supporter of comics. I was helping out with a comic that was called Stabbity Bunny, and we happened to be at a table next to him at a convention. And we had done a homage cover to one of his covers, and he saw it, and he actually gave us a quote. He said, if you don't enjoy Stabbity Bunny, you're dead inside, he said. And we used that everywhere we could.
Oh, you bet. No, he's such a wonderful guy, and so warm and giving, you know, just a real giving spirit, and certainly – you know, we joke around. I don't really joke about it, but, you know, me and some cartoonists that I talk to, you know, he's the greatest living comic book artist, you know, and I say it with a smile, but I'm not really joking about it. So, yeah, to be that good, and then combination of such a good spirit is, you know, he's a great guy. Yeah. And lucky he's been deeply involved in the Golem, and it was nice enough to read, like sort of like you did, Wayne, and, you know, an advanced copy. I think he might've read an even slightly earlier version of it than you did, but yeah, provided that great quote for us. That was awesome. Yeah. Howard Chaykin provided a great quote too. I don't know if it's on the Kickstarter page, but I loved Howard Chaykin's. I think he said, as a lifelong member of the tribe, I am grateful to have been asked to participate in this project. And I just thought that was perfect. Perfect Howard Chaykin. Wow. And I love his page. I don't know. I think it's been revealed in some of the articles and promo stuff, but his page is part of I don't think it's given too much away, Wayne, to say it's part of a sort of what if story. That's a bonus story that Dean Haspiel provides a terrific, just a really knockout from a cartooning standpoint, framing sequence. And then we've got some real terrific artists within that framing sequence doing different what if depictions of Adam, the Golem. And luckily Howard was gracious enough to jump in here and do one with us. And I just love his so much. Maybe I won't say what it is so people can find it for themselves, but I love his so much. So striking, very Howard Chaykin, which was what we were hoping for.
Now, of course, as an editor of this, now you said Hanan wrote the story and you got involved as an editor. What was your involvement in the process as far as being the editor? I mean, did you make suggestions for the story? Was it more of a grammatical thing? What was your role in this book?
Sure. Well, I guess I think my biggest contribution in terms of the story, Hanan had a really good story to begin with, and it was pretty clearly defined. He'd been with it for quite a while, and I think he'd recognized on his own some of the stuff probably over the years that you know he had already gotten rid of. But the biggest thing is when we sat together and you know I was officially working with him on it, we decided instead of he had planned originally that it would be three books to tell the story. And that's just, it was too, you know, making two books is risky sort of in today's market, certainly for an unknown creator and an unknown property. And I just wanted to sort of protect his interest in the sense that, you know, three books to me seemed just a little too ambitious. And I just thought we could tell the story with, you know, just as much impact in two books. So story-wise, that's really my, you know, that would be my, you know, perhaps certainly my biggest contribution. Hanan had a great story. And then my role as editor, Wayne, I, you know, me and Hanan go through the story very carefully together. And we discuss his intentions very carefully together. We discuss artists that we like, you know, together. We spend a lot of time on the phone going through that stuff. And then I suggest artists to Hanan, or perhaps sometimes there's been times where we've landed on the same artist at the same time. That's always fun. And I sort of handle dealing with the artists. I contact them. I sort of, you know, handle setting up, you know, whatever the arrangements are. And then I sort of work with the artists, and then me and Hanan work together on what we get from the artists. And it sort of goes that way.
Because it's one of the things that I do as an editor is I'm a grammar Nazi. I can sit there and, in fact, I just before we started recording, I just got done proofreading some stuff for a lady. And I am, you know, I'm terrible because I drive my friends crazy. I'll be watching television with them. And all of a sudden a commercial will come on. And I go, oh. And I said, what's wrong? I said, they spelled refrigerator wrong.
I hear you. And, you know, Hanan's great with Hanan's like having a copy editor working with you. But I just said this to him yesterday on the phone, talking about, you know, one element of the book we're finalizing. You always need two eyes for that stuff. At least I find in my experience. And so between us, I think we do, you know, there won't be too many typos. And then, you know, Clover does a good job of keeping their eye on things, the publisher. And I hear you on typos, though. I also, not to get off the Golem of Venice Beach book too, but I work with Clover on this line of Marvel art books that they do. And we put out the Marvel art of David Mack. And beautiful books and, you know, successful and everybody's happy and great testament to David's, you know, first couple decades. He's so young that there'll be certainly several more, but his first couple decades at Marvel. But I missed, you know, there is a typo in there and it kills me, Wayne. You know, I opened up these beautiful books when I got the comp copies and was excited to get them. It had been a long road getting there and they're beautiful, the great production, and, you know, couldn't be happier with all that. But then I got the one little part and I was like, oh my God, I missed that. So I hear you on that. But Hanan's really good with that, certainly, though. But yeah, that's part of what I do. I sort of, Hanan's very hands-on. And in general, I think, you would say I sort of manage the project. But when you work with Hanan, he has, you know, already such a strong sense of what he's trying to get to, that, you know, it's less managing it than it's just, you know, helping him get it and tending to work more hands-on with the artists and then working with him to get the result kind of as close to, you know, perfect as we can. You know, we work with Ferran Delgado, who's a terrific letterer, and that's sort of what we're all doing right now, sort of finishing up the final touches and stuff. And yeah, but, you know, I'm fairly involved in all that. With the story was pretty, and Hanan's dialogue and all that stuff, he's got it pretty, you know, it's pretty tight already. So I don't, you know, in this particular book, there's not too much of that. He's kind of already got all that stuff handled.
Well, I see, you're lucky, because I have friends of mine that I proofread for. And there's this one guy, because as I said, I'm a Star Trek fan, and I have this one friend of mine who writes scripts, but for the life of me, I can't figure out why he can't spell phaser right. And I keep telling him, you know, it's not P-H-A-S-O-R. Oh. It's P-H-A-S-E-R. And Roddenberry, you should know how to spell Gene Roddenberry's name.
You know, computers are killing the people's knowledge of spelling, though. I think it's across the board. It's people are just, it's going to become a lost art eventually. It's kind of
depressing. Well, even the computer doesn't help him with that stuff, I had to say.
Well, it hurts you because, you know, you don't have to think about it. If, you know, I mean, even the cheapest, I'm not a big computer guy, but like even the cheapest computer, right? Like it corrects it itself, or it suggests corrections that aren't even right half the time. So, you know, it's just, it's all, plus people text so much as their main intercourse where nobody cares for the most part. I mean, I'm guilty of it. I don't always, you know, type properly, certainly in text. I almost never do. So we're all maybe a little guilty of it. But no, the editorial role is a little different from project to project. But on this one, it's just working really. I think the best way to say it is I spend a lot of time, you know, working with Hanan to sort of get things right, and then, you know, my own time, you know, initially getting the artists together and getting everybody on the same page and stuff like that. So it's a lot of fun. It's been a hell of a ride, and I'm very thankful to Hanan for providing the opportunity. When people see the artists who are combined in these two books, but certainly in book two with you know, I don't want to list them off. I think you did, so I don't want to just, you know, repeat the names. But it's a hell of a collection. So I'm grateful for the opportunity to get to see those guys work and work on characters that I've come to love, like you said, Uncle Steph and Adam, and you know, the girls Izzy and Sasha, who have some great scenes in this book. The young teenage girls, kind of street kids, and there's just a lot of great stuff.
Well, I got to ask a couple of questions, and maybe since you talk with Hanan, you can help me answer them. Where did the characters come from? Are they figments of Hanan's imagination? Are they based on people he knows or knew or something like that? Where did the character, like Uncle Steph or even Adam the Golem, where did they come from?
You know, I believe that Uncle Steph is inspired not by any one person, but a sort of composite of Hanan's impressions, at least, of older family members or stories he heard of family members who you know, went through, you know, the horror of the concentration camps in World War II. I don't, you know, he's not based on any specific person. And as far as Jake and Adam, Erica, the girls, Izzy and Sasha that I just mentioned, you know, all these Vachon and Cepeda, I'm sure he has inspirations across the board for them, but they're really, you know, characters that he lives in Los Angeles. He's a New York guy. He grew up in New York. He went to Columbia. So he's always been around, you know, I don't want to say the streets, that's not what I mean by it, but you know, he's been around some quirky environments. And when he got out to Los Angeles and spent time in Venice Beach, which he does fairly, you know, fairly frequently, I think. So he sort of sees, you know, not that he saw Adam the Golem, but, you know, he saw sort of stoners like Jake. He saw, you know, sort of Rastafarian type guys like Kwaku, who's one of my favorite supporting characters. And Kwaku fans will, you know, they'll have to tune in for his fate here in book two, poor Kwaku. Yeah, I don't think they're based on people specifically. I think there's a combination of probably people he's met and, you know, he's mentioned in a few of the interviews. He did some terrific interviews that have come out in the rounds of promotion when the campaign first launched, where he mentions Lee Strasberg from, you know, the famous Hyman Roth role in The Godfather Part Two, one of the really iconic supporting character roles. He's mentioned that as an influence on Uncle Steph. And so I think it's more composite across the board, Wayne, of people and, you know, actors he's liked and maybe characters from other stories he's enjoyed and stuff like that.
Well, you mentioned that he's actually lived in Venice Beach. Is that why this book is based in Venice Beach? Is it because it's an environment he's familiar with?
Yeah, that's a big reason. Sure. Yes, he moved to Los Angeles. He's a New York guy who grew up in New York, went to college in New York, and lived there, you know, most of his life. But he's been in Southern California for, I don't want to put a year on it and get it wrong. He's been there for over a decade. And when he moved there, he was really, he lives in Los Angeles, but, you know, Venice Beach isn't that far away. And he was really struck by the quirky sort of just the, you know, the nature of it. I haven't been there myself. I feel like I have at this point, but and in an interesting twist, David Mack, who illustrates one of the great sequences of either book, he illustrates a sort of a vision quest sequence in there that's very key to the character of Jake in book two here. He spends, I think David travels a lot, but he lives part of the year in Venice Beach. So while his pages don't really deal with Venice Beach, he certainly, he brings a little bit of native flavor. But all the Venice Beach stuff, ironically, is drawn by Vanessa Cardinale, who lives in Italy, who is an Italian girl and lives in Italy and is never, you know, she's never, only thing she knows about Venice Beach is the reference stuff that we've sent her, you know. So, but I think the setting really is actually becomes, I don't want to use the cliche and say the setting's a character, but the setting certainly, I don't think anybody from Venice Beach would quibble, you know, with the lack of faithfulness. I think it's very faithful from what I've seen of actual Venice Beach and the reference and just, you know, videos and stuff.
It's pretty cool because, you know, I do get the sense that we do get to learn a lot about Venice Beach as a result of these books, which, of course, is a great thing. Now, this book screams movie to me. I could see this book being either an animated film or a live-action film. And you said that Hanan has some background in movie making. Is there any chance that this might actually come to a big screen in our neighborhood sometime?
I mean, I'm sure that would be a dream come true for everybody involved. You know, certainly Hanan, who does have this that background, and you know, that stuff takes luck and determination. And I know for a fact that Hanan has got the determination. So, and I think the material, you know, like you just said, it's nice to hear you say that. Appreciate hearing it. I do think the material would lend itself well to, there's so many venues for that stuff now, you know, so many channels or apps and services that are creating their own content. And I could definitely see the Golem being, you know, any number of, adapted any number of ways into film or TV. So That would be terrific, Wayne. I love it. If you know somebody, tell them to call us.
I wish I knew somebody. I'd love to help this become. Now, the one thing I do want to say, and without spoiling, is that this book has a satisfying conclusion.
Oh, that's terrific to hear.
And I have to say, as a comic book reader, where comics go from month to year to decade without ever coming to a conclusion or any kind of a place where we get to a satisfying place, this was a real pleasure for me to get to a place where I actually thought, oh, wow, that story really does come to a wonderful place at the end of volume two. And it was such a unique experience as a comics reader that I it's one of the things I want to make sure people understand is that this is one of those books that I think you're going to treasure because of things like that. And it's just a special, I'm not spoiling it, but all I can do is think about that last page. And I live in that moment because there's some wonderful things that are done with that. And as I said, as a comic book fan, I'm not used to that. So it's just a well done thing. But that leads me to a question. Of course, without spoiling anything, is this the end of the Golem of Venice Beach universe as far as things go? Are there other story possibilities that Hanan and you have been batting around?
Yeah, I know Hanan has an idea that's separate from the Golem universe, an interesting idea. It certainly could be a lot of fun about the great 20th century Jewish baseball player Hank Greenberg. And that would be I don't know the full scope of it, but that would be fun. But certainly this is the end of the Golem of Venice Beach, but I would be disappointed if it was the end of telling, you know, Adam was around he's been around for quite a while, and, you know, hundreds and hundreds of years. So the Venice Beach setting is sort of behind us at the end of this book, but there's a lot of stuff we could still do. So hopefully enough people check this one out, and there's, you know, an audience for these books, and people can get book one in the campaign now, Wayne, and you know, start from the beginning with Bill Sienkiewicz, and ideally this would not be the end, Wayne. I'm stumbling over my reply here because, but yeah, no, I would hate it if this was the end of it. I've had a lot of fun doing these, and I know Hanan's got some more Golem stories in him.
Well, I know what little I know about Golem mythology is that, just because they have, they're no longer involved in the work of the living, let's say, that doesn't mean that they're over with, that they could, another circumstance could arise and they could come back with those kinds of things. And as I said, I like this character. And I wouldn't mind seeing the Golem appear in other beaches and other places because...
Oh, I mean, what did Alan Moore say? That nothing ever ends.
Yeah.
Nothing ever ends.
I would love to see this Golem in other stories. Let's just put it that way.
Oh, that's terrific, Wayne. Well, I'm going to do my best to make that happen. You know, we're focused right now. We're finishing up the final... Most of the book's been done since early spring. Most of the book's been done, and then it was just a question of getting a few more pieces in. And currently, as the campaign's running right now for the next couple weeks, we're putting the finishing touches on just the trade dress and book design and getting a couple things lettered. And it's a real lift to hear your feedback on it. You're one of the few people that's read the full book, and I know you were missing a few lettered pages here and there, but it's been a real treat hearing your feedback on it. And I think most people, it's hard these days getting these things out there. We're like you said, we're lucky to be funded, and we were funded within I think it was 45 minutes or something like that. So that was a real, that was great to see people coming back from book one and new people. And I think the more people who come across it the artists, let alone, but, you know, hearing you reflect on the story and your satisfaction and how it can, there's a sense of a conclusion, you know, a sense of a full story. We didn't leave people hanging. And I think even with a lot of our supporting characters, we tried to make sure that you know, these they were alive for us, and we wanted to make sure that their lives were going okay when we left them, you know. So I'm glad it seems to have that impact on you. That's it's great to hear.
Well, these books sparkle. Yeah, it's the only way I think they are just something special. Because, you know, I have to say, this isn't the first Golem story I've ever read.
Sure.
I've read lots of Golem stories, but this is the one that really touched me the most.
Oh, that's yeah, no, there's, I mean, Hanan talks about it often. The Thing, you know, Jack Kirby's The Thing, that's a sort of quintessential comic book Golem. You know, this man, this monster, right? That's the whole thing of it. That's, I think, one of the lines that's in the promotion for this Golem, for the Golem of Venice Beach Book 2, is, you know, can a monster have a soul? And, you know, simple question, but I think Hanan manages to answer it in a way that is direct yet complex, and that's always tricky to do. And I might be biased, of course, but I think he manages to do it.
Well, the Golem stories I've read in the past have always had the golems being monsters. They look monstrous. They don't function in any way that we would relate to. But Adam, to me, as I said, I kind of relate to this guy, because I even call him a guy, because to me, he's human on many levels. Even though he's a golem, it's easy to relate to him because of the things that he's going through and the things that we see happen to him. I feel for him, and I think that's one of the things that make this story stand out to me.
You could argue, too, that the other characters around him are really, when they're around Adam and through their interactions with Adam, is when they're at their most human, when they sort of discover their most human, you know, sense, really. And if at least that's a reading on it with a bunch of the characters for me, with the girls, Izzy and Sasha, in particular, you know, all throughout, when he comes across the characters that get to know him a little bit. I mean, nobody really gets to know him, I guess, maybe Steph. But, yeah, he sort of brings out in his own way, he sort of brings out their humanity. And I think that's a nice tribute to Hanan's handling of the character. Like you said, yes, this book, too, has a ton of action. I mean, there's more action than book one. There's a really extended fight scene that's you know, just wall to wall action, page after page. But other than, you know, he's not, like you said, Wayne, he's not just a mindless, that action is the culmination of you know, sort of the overall dramatic plot, you know, if not his character arc so much, but the overall dramatic plot. But other, you know, he's not out there. It's not not that there's anything wrong with Hulk Smash. It's a lot of fun, but yeah, it's not Hulk Smash all the time. No. Adam, you know, he's out there doing, you know what? He's making palindromes and doing, you know, playing chess in the park and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm. He's a relatable character, which is the thing I like about him. Now, one of the things I wanted to mention, too, is there's several levels that are involved in the Golem. You can get digital editions of just two or one and two, and you can get hardcovers of one and two or just two. There's prints available. You can get signed. Do you sign any of the hardcovers?
No. The books are being the books will be signed by someone who people will appreciate much, much more than if I did. Frank Quitely is, you know, just a great guy and provided us a really just masterful wraparound cover. And he's kind enough to sign a limited number of signature plates that'll be, you know, they won't be sewn into the books, but they'll be, you know, tipped into the books. That might be the wrong term, but they'll be, you know, included in the books, let me say, so nobody holds me to the wrong term on that. But Frank Quitely will be signing a limited number of books, which is awesome. And I think there's some Bill Sienkiewicz signed books that are available to Wayne in the campaign right now. I think there's still a few that are left from book one.
Well, I can tell you, as a fellow editor, I ran into this lady friend of mine who was an editor. And she always wanted her name at the top of everything because she was the editor. Even other editors, her name was supposed to come first. No. And I told her, I said, no, you got to understand, editors, we're like Batman. We prefer the shadows. You know, our job is to make other people look good. You know, I don't want my name at the top of anything. I want it to be the bottom if it's even in there.
Yeah, no, I mean, I guess everybody has a point of view on these things, but I don't think the editor's name belongs on the cover, you know, let alone at the top. And I say this with all humility. I think as editor, and maybe it's just the way I grew up reading the books, but the editor goes last, you know. The editor certainly doesn't go first, and editor being on the cover to me is, for my own taste, you know, my own sense of things, it's kind of ridiculous, to be honest. So, but I guess it's shifted over time, right? Because way before, you know, before my time, in the era of, let's say, Julia Schwartz, you know, in the Silver Age, I think the editors were the most prominent credit, I think, you know, from what I might be mixing this up a little, but even in the early 80s, I think, you know, it was pretty common for Len Wein. I think in Alan Moore's first Swamp Things, like the first credit was Len Wein and not Alan Moore. So, yeah, but no, I agree with you. No, the editor shouldn't be, you know, the editor's there as like a sort of shepherd, you know?
And, yeah. Well, it's funny because I nowadays some of the comics are put in the artist's name before the writer.
That's become kind of, I mean, that's almost so common. Yeah, that started a lot. It became more prevalent, I guess, with that late 80s, early 90s, the Image guys and Todd McFarlane and, you know, that sort of thing. I think that's when that started more. Yeah, you see it a lot. You know, I don't know. I'm a traditional guy, maybe, where I just think writer, artist. There's not a ton of inkers these days, or at least on the projects that I do. There's not a ton of people who don't ink themselves, but I guess I'm just old school. It would be writer, artist, you know, inker, colorist, letterer, editor. Kind of simple, straightforward.
Yep. So in the club, that's where I am. If my name's on the top, something's wrong.
It's like, No, I worked on a book that came out from a great publisher and my work isn't too associated with it, so I don't think I'm going to hurt anybody's feelings. But I wound up hearing from the creator, who was an outside comics person and didn't know the way things work. And they were like asking, like, oh, the editor insists on being in the credits above the cover. Well, that's weird, you know? So I don't know. Everyone's different. That's the polite way of saying it.
Well, all I can say is this is a great book. It's The Golem of Venice Beach, books 1 and 2, and get the Kickstarter and be sure to support this long before Friday, October 4th at 12 a.m. Eastern Daylight Time. And right now, everything's looking really good for The Golem of Venice Beach, number 2. And I can't wait to read more of this stuff, and I'm going to keep my watching out for the names, for your names and Hanan's name and other things like that, because this book really just grabbed me, and I like books that I forget where I am while I'm reading it. I'm so busy in the story, and I'm plunged in. It's like Frank Miller said when he opened up the first Batman book, he opened it up, started to read it, and he fell in. And that's what I enjoy. And I had that experience here. I forgot where I was for about a half an hour, about 45 minutes, because I was into this story. And I love
when I say, hopefully not during our call. I hope I didn't.
Oh, no. Oh, no.
I'm teasing, Wayne. No, it's so wonderful to hear. Like I said, you work on these things, and it's not so much working in a vacuum, because I speak to Hanan all the time about it, and you know, multitude of artists on the book, and Ferran Delgado, who you know, I work with Ferran on a ton of stuff, and he's letter of this. We were lucky to have Clem Robbins letter book one, and Ferran came in and lettered the Jay Lee scenes in book one, and then I work with Ferran pretty much full time after the last couple of years on multitude of projects, and he's involved. So I talked to it about a bunch of people, but in terms of someone who's read it and you know, from an outside perspective, it's just really great to hear all your feedback, everything we've discussed, and I think we stayed away from any spoilers. I might have stumbled close to one, but I think we did okay.
It's an amazing book, and I highly recommend it. Be sure to get there, and once again, before October 4th, the Friday, at 12 a.m. Eastern Daylight Time, be sure to get in there for the Golem of Venice Beach. If people, for some stupid reason, can't get involved in the Kickstarter, is this book going to be available in bookstores at some point, do you think?
Yes, it will be. It will be. The better the Kickstarter does, the price point when the book hits the direct market and all that kind of stuff, and the more copies we can get out there to people. So we're hoping to have a strong 2 weeks or so as we close out the ongoing Kickstarter. But in time, the book certainly will be through the publisher Clover Press. The book will be available in the direct market.
What about a collected edition? Because this is 1 and 2. Are you going to have the complete edition?
Sure, would love to someday. Yeah, I think it would be a handsome book. Just the combination of artists all in one volume would be, I don't want to say unprecedented, but it would be up there with the great, artists collected in one book like that. That would hold its own with just about any book I could think of off the top of my head, and it would be a really handsome edition and a nice thick book. So that's certainly appealing. Yeah. See how book two winds up doing. And, Wayne, I want to be back here in a year or two talking about the Golem of Venice Beach book three. I'm with you. I don't want to be done. I don't want to be done. I want to figure it out. We'll have to talk to Anand about that, me and you.
It'd be great because, like I said, this book just transported me away and it pulled me into a good story. It was the kind of story that, like I said, it made me believe everything that I was reading. I was there, standing there watching this all happen. And that's the kind of book I really enjoy. It's not like the Rocky movies where they're in the middle of the Soviet Union and Rocky actually beats this guy pumped full of steroids and stuff. And in the middle of the Soviet Union, they stick an open mic in front of Rocky's mouth. And at that point, I was like, whoop, I came out of the movie and I'm sitting in the theater going, rats.
It was a heck of a montage, though.
Yeah, I want to stay there. I want to enjoy the whole thing.
Oh, I know. Well, I'm so glad the Golem kept you in there.
It did. Until I got to the end, I was there. I was living the Golem at that point because it was just so great. So once again, it's the Golem of Venice Beach. You can get 1 and 2. And I highly recommend you get both volumes because you're going to really enjoy the story. In that way. And once again, for the last time, it's going to reach its goal by Friday, October 4th at 12 a.m. Eastern Daylight Time. Be sure to get the Kickstarter. It's right now. If people want to follow you and what you're doing as far as like doing things online and keeping up with what you're up to, are there social media places we can go to?
Oh, thanks, Wayne. I'm not a big social media guy. I'm on Facebook, just Chris Stevens on Facebook, and I tend to post, fairly regularly, just mostly about projects I'm working on that have been announced and stuff like that, and sometimes showing artwork from different projects, and like everyone, sometimes pictures of cats and stuff like that. So that's about it. Thanks for asking, Wayne.
Are you by any chance going to go to conventions in the next couple of months?
Probably sometime in the next few months, Wayne. Been working on some stuff that hasn't been announced yet that should get announced, maybe right around the end of the year, a little bit before. So once that happens, start, going out to some conventions and trying to spread the word on that stuff and doing all that fun stuff.
If you ever get to New York, I highly recommend the New York Comic Con. That's my favorite.
Oh, fantastic. Yeah, no, I've been to several. Not in the last. It's been a while. I haven't been to one in, it might be 10 years or so. But in the early 2000s, I went to, maybe 5 in a row or something like that. So, no, well acquainted with the experience. And I'm sure it's even bigger and crazier now.
Well, Chris, all I can say is keep up the wonderful stuff. I can't wait to read more of the stuff that you're involved with. And so we'll have to stay in touch. And if you start doing other stuff, you're writing something, we'll definitely have to talk about that.
Oh, Wayne, you're one of my favorite people to talk comics with. And I'm thrilled. I'm gonna hang up with you. Very happy that you like the book so much. And it's a big lift as we finish up the final little touches on the production of it. So just really happy you liked it. Really happy it brought the story home for you. And really appreciate you helping us spread the word on it. I'm going to let Hanan know all the good stuff we talked about.
People need dramatic examples to shake them out of apathy, and I can't do that as Bruce Wayne. As a man, from flesh and blood, I can be ignored, I can be destroyed, but as a symbol.
Get the latest from the comics universe. News, interviews, previews, and reviews. Listen to the weekly Wayne's Comics Podcast so you can keep reading your comics.
If you're enjoying this show, I would greatly appreciate your support. For $5 a month, you can ensure I'm able to bring you interviews with comic creators week after week. You can support the show by becoming a patron at patreon.com/majorspoilers. Check out that address, again, patreon.com/majorspoilers, for more information. Thanks in advance. And that's it for this week. Be back next time. We'll have another great interview with another terrific comics creator. But until then, keep reading your comics.